Hello and a very warm welcome to Business by Outra, the sports and business podcast. My name is Kim Schulze and I regularly have the honor of talking to special personalities from the outdoor and sporting good industry. In cooperation with Outra, the ecosystem for the outdoor bike and sports industry, whose digital tools optimize the customer journey and increase the sales of brands and their retail partners. Together, we look at relevant content through the eyes of industry experts and enthusiasts. Today, on the 9th of October, I'm enthusiastic to meet you, Gabriel. Gabriel Ather, Editor-in-Chief, Susten Magazine and Noor Magazine, founder and CEO of Noor Agency. So, hello.
Hello.
Wonderful to have you with us. We planned it quite a while, so my intro is not finished. We had a lot of jobs together already. We had projects. We developed the Sustainability Hub together on ISPO, first with Noor and then Brands for Good together with everything which is Susten right now, with Scandinavian Outdoor Group and the Scandinavian Outdoor Group Village, et cetera, et cetera. So before we deep dive into what's up now, what's the status quo, et cetera, maybe you can give a brief introduction to our listeners to make sure that they can somehow listen on a level where it's more a private than a business introduction. So please.
Yeah, so my name's Gabriel. Originally a freelance journalist, I started to write about environmental issues when I was young. I came into it for two reasons. One, because I just love being out in nature, hang out with my friends, climbing, listening to music, light a fire. And the other one was that I was involved in an environmental organization and they needed an editor for their magazine. And I was just curious, so I started to write for this NGO magazine. And one thing sort of led to the other. And environmentalism and nature has been with me ever since. Sometimes a little bit at the background, sometimes it's been all I'm thinking about. But the red thread through all these years is that I want to, of course, on a personal level, make my little contributions, how I live my life with my kids, everything, what I buy, what I eat, how I transport myself. But also, as in my profession, if I can, I want to have an impact through journalism, through communication, through storytelling. Because I like it. I think it's...
You like it, and you do brilliant. Good. So maybe one or two hard facts for... You live in Sweden, and this is where you work from, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I live in Stockholm. I was born in Stockholm and moved around a lot as a kid, and then... traveled a lot and then moved back to Stockholm. And
this is where you live and this is where everything goes apart from where, which is the central. For when I got to know you some years ago, it was like feeling that you are the heart and soul and founder and creator in the communication sector. And of course, this was always a little different for being Central European than having the Scandinavian mindset. And therefore, it would be wonderful if you share the community-driven thoughts and the vision building you did with all the multiple channels around Noor, around Susten. Can you please introduce your agency? Of course, also referring, because it's a B2B podcast, to a business model, to a Nova channels, as everything you want to share here. So this is your Susten introduction now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can backtrack a little bit before I come to Susten. So in 2005, I started a magazine called Noor Magazine in German. It was about the Nordic nature, how to travel and experience that for all the German people who love Scandinavia. And our target group was not only, of course, the readers, but also we wanted to bring in advertising companies to finance the magazine. And for that reason, I started to go down to Munich to this international big fair, the ISPO fair and the outdoor fair that was at that time in Friedrichshafen. And going there and see all these brands, all the big brands, the small brands, all the posters about nature and wildlife and climbing, etc., made me inspired, but also after a few years going there, it made me very frustrated, because I thought that there's so much talking about nature, but there's also so much consumerism. So in 2008, I came back to Zurich, where I met up with a friend, and I thought to myself, or said to him, that, look, I'm a little bit disgusted by all this marketing with all this nature. I want to make a sort of choice for our magazine, for our company, that we shouldn't reach out to any advertising brand. We shouldn't have airlines, etc. We should only focus on the brands that are doing something positive for the environment and just skip the rest, like a strategic decision. And that was in the evening. He and I had quite a few beers. It was a wild idea. And I thought to myself, if I think it's a good idea in the morning when I wake up, then we'll just go for this. And I actually did. So in 2008, I took this strategic decision that we focus on the brands, the pioneers. And we don't judge the rest, but we don't do so much with them. And after a few years, there was quite a few brands that you saw that, wow, these are doing a very good job within the outdoor industry. And in 2011, I had the idea that, okay, maybe we could start a magazine that only is about outdoor and sustainability, a business-to-business magazine about the pioneers, the good solutions, etc. And we named it Suston. And I made a pitch presentation, went down to the trade fair again and met with all these brands and the European Outdoor Group. And a lot of them thought that it was a great idea, but none of them wanted to finance it, because they said that, yes, but sustainability is so few people that actually care about this. So this is not, we can't market or communicate in it. Such a small publication. So I came back to Stockholm very disappointed. And the next year I thought that maybe now is the year when we start Suston. And the next year, maybe now is the year. And I was trying the idea on people. And then in 2017, I thought that let's just start this outdoor magazine about sustainability only, business to business, and just see how it goes. And it turned out that the timing was absolutely perfect, because at around 2017, enough brands, enough retailers, enough suppliers had started their journey or their transition, and they loved this magazine from the beginning. So we got a flying start and had a very good feedback from both readers but also from the industry. And the idea from the beginning, which is still the foundation, is to highlight the solutions and highlight the things that work, the good things that are happening. Because my philosophy is that we are quite aware of the problems in our daily life, in our work life, and we need to hear about the things that actually work. And that, I think, was something that many people welcomed in this sustainability environment within the, or like you say, the sustainability community within the outdoor community. Like, all of them are totally aware of problems around PFAS, microfiber pollution, etc. They want to hear, okay, what can we do about it? So that was a start. And then after a few years, of course, it was tough during the pandemic and everything, but after a few years, brands started to come to us and say that, look, you're doing a very good job with Suston magazine on telling about sustainability. Do you also work with sustainability communication? And since the company I run, Nora Agency, has around 7-8 people that are, a lot of them are editors, journalists, communicators. I thought that this is a great idea. This is a great option for us. So to have another part of our business. So now we have the magazine part with Suston and Norr magazine and a Swedish publication. We do a lot of content productions for others around outdoor sustainability. For instance, we help the German retailer Globetrotter with articles about sustainability for their blog. And then we have the sustainability communication where we can guide the good brands on how to tell their story in a credible and transparent way. Because it's a tricky balance. Either you're too boring or you're too fluffy. It's really challenge to find the sweet spot in the middle where you both are true and genuine and at the same time is engaging the person who's listening.
Okay, so I do have already 1,000 questions which are way apart from the red thread we discussed in prep. So let's start with how many print and how many digital issues and everything, so that people who do not know Norr or Suston or you have an idea how big you are.
Yeah, so Suston, of course, you have an online web portal, sustonmagazine.com. Every month we send out an editorial newsletter, mini magazine called Suston Monthly, to 2,000 subscribers around Europe and North America, also mainly business to business. It's like sustainability managers, designers, marketing managers, CEOs, etc. that we read this. And it's very, very popular, and actually.
I would highly recommend myself. But this is not the role.
Glad to hear. And then we do, every year, we do one winter issue and one summer issue. As a print magazine, but also as a PDF that you can subscribe to. And Norr magazine, our German magazine, it's also a winter issue, summer issue, and a special guide every summer, but also a lot of digital content and a monthly newsletter. And when it comes to the publications we do for others, in Sweden, the biggest retailer is called Naturkompaniet. They're owned by Frilufts Retail, which is owned by the Phoenix Group. So we do their customer magazine thing since 2011. We do the Finnish sister company, Parttuvaara. We do their magazine.
So if we see that combination, and this question was not prepared, for the new guidelines for communication towards green claims, towards regulations on how to behave ourselves as communicators in the business on a correct way. And you have different influences on yourself business-wise and also attitude-wise. You need to describe products as good as they are, as transparent as you can. But of course, if you see all the clients you have always with the USP of being sustainable since then back, whatever, how is the situation for you right now with the green claims, and how is that for the brands you work with? And after that, we come to all the rest we prepared.
Mm-hmm. No, but I mean, in general, I'm very, very positive towards the green claims legislation. And I think a lot of the pioneering brands are also, they of course, it's, they have to maybe change a little bit how they communicate. But if they know, and they do, they have their processes in place, they know their supply chain, they know their materials, then they have things to communicate that the others don't have. So there has been a discussion around, would this lead to greenwashing, that the good brands don't dare to say what they're actually doing. And I don't think it will be like that. I think it will be a transition period where you have to just find how to phrase things. But in general, I think it's very good that this is in place.
Yeah. I step in out of the moderator role to my daily life, which is Sympatex and the marketing and communication C role. We discuss it often because
obviously PFAS-free circularity, etc., is the case since ever. But of course, you need to prove it right now on a different, in a different level. And I adore that things are changing, even if it's always a threat that we need laws and not ourselves. But this is, I guess, what you were saying. We are welcoming it as well. Is it? Yeah, maybe it's part of the other questions, because if you see everything as a multiplicator and as an accelerator of what is in an influential area, I'm sorry, with the responsibility of outdoor enthusiasm, sustainability, respect for change, which you, for me, stand for, because we met quite early with Noor, and that will be part of some questions as well. Everything that made the change you experienced yourself. So when you see yourself as an outdoor activist and an outdoor enthusiast, what is the consumption? What did make you change? And what could be the idea of what makes people change? That was...
So that's something I have been thinking so much about over the years. What makes you think? What makes you change and what makes you act, sort of? And I think it's a combination of multiple factors. In my own life, it was becoming a father in 2005. That made me think that maybe I need to change something, because I was very aware at that time about climate change and everything. So I thought that, I maybe need to just rethink what I do for a living in a way, or like my focus, and also how I live my life. So of course, like personal things in your life can change how you think, but also my belief is that also in my field that journalism and storytelling can have an eye-opening effect and can show a direction forward. And that's also maybe that what I was saying before, that's the kind of journalism I believe in, the one that it's not only telling about the problems, but also say like, look, here's the problem and here is what you can do about it. So empowering.
Every else attitude would not be the right thing to tackle that kind of influence you have as a media, right? I said that if this would not be your personal attitude and the knowledge of the authority you have as media, everything else would be wrong. Everything else feels wrong for myself.
No, but then of course, like outside media, of course, there are so many important things that creates change. Like I was thinking of before we talk about, or before we met up, that legislation, of course, is like, it's a driving force. How can you influence legislation? That is like, if you look back, a lot of the good things and the bad things that happened, and in my opinion, in society, has been that people has influenced legislation. That's one aspect. And another aspect is of course, getting people together, because the community aspect is so strong that people coming together can create much, much more than they can one by one on themselves. And also, I think personally, to live a little as you learn is good for you. It makes you feel better about yourself, and it will influence others also.
Can you repeat that one? Live as you learn.
Live as you learn. Like I mean, when it comes to environmentalism and activism, at least I follow people who I feel that they are genuinely living as they learn. Their values are reflected in how they live and how they act. That for me personally is something, a person I want to follow.
Yeah, got it. Same. And for, you mentioned influence and legislation, there are lots of examples around us in who did it and who is obviously doing it or who is doing it behind the scenes. Is there something you want to share how you influenced legislation yourself? Because that leads to the question we prepared. How much systemic change do you see in your own influence, or how much do you see is needed?
I think when it comes to our company and our titles, our communication, we haven't had any influence on legislation. What we tried to is maybe rather to explain legislation to our readers, because it is very, very complex. And if we can explain it in a good way, maybe they will act upon it. So I think that's one important part for both media and for the sustainability communication, because a lot of these questions, they end up at the sustainability department, where a frustrated sustainability manager knows that all this legislation is coming, and I'm the only one in the company who understands it. So how can we support that person to reach out in his or her organization and make them understand?
And remembering, so when we first met, I guess it was something between 2010 and 2012. When your project, and in that time I was like also founder of a platform, not really only related to media, but trying, so with Brands for Good, that was initially also the reason for getting the dots together of those who already act. And looking back now, how do you judge, because when we prepared the Sustain mission and you sent, which I know since then, so this is why I mentioned it's 14 years which we know each other, sometimes more intense on preparing the shows, sometimes more intense on sharing content. If you see how can we support, inspire, and protect those who do something? Because the nervous breakdowns on climate change are close. If we see, so today for the 9th of October, we have the second storm in US, like crazy. We have lots of catastrophes which we do not even know because of the media does not share. And where when seeing the discussion points, if somebody wants to start but has not the influence on the complete thing and saying, yeah, but the others are not doing well as well. So how can we protect those who act, and what is your mission as Sustain and as Gabriel in there?
Protect those who act or empower them or support them, or well, I guess also I had a very interesting interview the other week. I was interviewing a researcher. She is running a project, an international project called the Empirics of Hope, which we will write about in Sustain. And the idea behind this research project is that if there are good things happening around the world in parallel to the multi-crisis we're facing, we need to find them and tell about them and learn from them, because they can, if those dots are connected between people, organizations, projects, etc., that work, that can be a multiple factor. So to protect is of course good, but to bring together people who are working for positive change and making results.
Maybe my wording was wrong, because protect is only referring to the people which might run out of energy by the time.
Oh, yeah.
Because when we discussed upfront, it was like everybody of us can make a difference, not only in the level of playing field of business, but also in the private lives for how does that influence. And the remarking words you made were scale and speed, some details, and I wanted just to underline we all need to work together and give ourselves strength to proceed. So this was why I said, okay, let's share your thoughts around that one, please.
No, but that those words, speed and scale, like, learned them or picked them up at the think tank I took part in April. It was hosted by this very famous climate scientist. His name is Johan Rockström. He's a professor at the Potsdam Institute in Germany, but he's originally from Sweden. And he's a passionate skier also. So he brings together, he and the people he work with, brings together a group of sustainability-minded people from different arenas that also love skiing. So we were in Lingen up north, in northern Norway.
Next time, please take me with you. And it wasn't the Tarfala think tank, right? Was that?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's the one. Yeah, Tarfala think tank. And it was the second time I took part. And besides all the fantastic time out in nature, which I think is very important when we discuss sustainability, to connect to nature also, to make it more real. But he was saying that speed and scale is what is needed now, because the crisis is moving with speed and scale. So the solutions need to move with speed and scale. So to find the good things and amplify them and make them move faster, that is what his message that he wanted to share with us, or send with us, the participants, was. And another very interesting presentation and discussion was around the Earth for All concept. Could we live in a prosperous world still? Is it too late? Science-based answer that they came up with was, yes, there is still time, and yes, there are resources for an Earth for all, if you say so, like an Earth where everybody has good health services, food, everything you need, and still within the planetary boundaries. But that, of course, needs more or less a revolution to happen, a global revolution. But the scientists, what their job is, maybe just to present it to us, like, look, you have the option. If you want to, if you can manage, then you can move in this direction. So that was also one, both scary and inspiring message at the same time, that no, it's not too late, but it's really, really, the window is really...
To be honest, for myself, I have fear like hell, and this is nothing which I discuss like ever all the time. I try to get things moving, but the way we knew each other from the beginning, right away, it was always, okay, we need to move, and we need to make sure that all our steps do have some influence. And if this is one of the questions to get it more concrete, if I would listen to us now, I guess my question would be, okay, nice, I know, and I knew, and maybe I did not know the Tarfala think tank, but what can I do as a person? How can I feel myself being relevant enough? If I'm in a brand, I'm a product manager, or I'm a sales guy, or whatever I am, I could also be a CEO, as I feel all the time. What do you have some helping steps to get more engaged and the concrete relevant thing, because it's not on campaigning right now, and it's not on whatever kind of thing. But if there is a wonderful smart brain like you, Gabriel, are, please share some concrete steps for those who listen.
Smarter people have better, even better things to say. But what I was thinking about a lot at the Tarfala think tank is that you're facing a global crisis, and you, as a person in your work life or private life, you're not a global leader. Yeah, like what tools do you have in your own life? And that's something I have with me since I was young, in this environmental organization that we were working with, for that we were addressing huge questions already then, like Amazonas, cutting down a rainforest. What could we, a little group of young activists in Stockholm, could we have any influence? And I think that still everyone can look at, okay, where are you now? Where are you today? Where could you be in 1, 2, 3 years' time? if you want to have a positive impact. So to sort of make some evaluation, where are you now? What can you do right away? Of course, there are always like things you can do, but to have a 1-3 year plan on this is how I want to contribute, and a plan that maybe has to be agile and updated, but that can maybe give you some inner peace to say, like, okay, I'm a small person, I can't solve the world crisis, but I can do this, and if I plan ahead, maybe 1-3 years time, I will have a larger impact. And how do I get there? What people do I need to connect with? What resources do I need that I don't have today?
And yeah, maybe am I allowed to add something, because we have so many this wonderful discussions over the last years. If this is valid for just for myself, being in the different positions over the time we knew each other, and there is always some new contribution which I see as super relevant, but of course I do always see hurdles on people which ask, okay, what do you mean? How is that? So if I see, for example, the supply chain issues we do already had since ever, combined with social things, and right now the discussions over the last, I don't know how long, but you want to save electricity and CO2, but you need to make sure that in the heat employees are protected. So there's, and this was on my list anyhow after the podcast, to share everything I discovered on the Cascade meetings and on everything which was happening over the last weeks, including European Outdoor Group Summit. I think Scandinavian Outdoor Group is hosting today and tomorrow. So there are so many topics which are more transparent and more easy to understand if people like you are feeded with the right impulses on transparency, because then we find faster solutions. And for myself, having brands like Houdini in Scandinavia, Eva's always standing for that, for sharing and opening up horizons. So just as a comment, because this is what you stand for me as an influential person with accelerating the topics we need to. Maybe it's easier to discuss faster than others.
Share solutions and then share maybe energy with others is, of course, super important. And I think that has been a positive shift within the outdoor industry over the last years, that it's more of an open source feeling to it, that, okay, we do something and we want to spread it to others. And that is, of course, speed and scale. Like, somebody finds a solution, share it.
So before we come to the end of our podcast, there are some questions which I would love you to answer like super spontaneously. Are you ready? Okay. It is always under somehow the red thread or the headline, how could this happen to me? And this can be interpreted in both ways, of course, positively or challengingly. So first one, your most embarrassing business moment.
When I was younger and meeting an editor I worked for as a freelancer, and going up in the elevator to their office, I looked myself in the mirror, as you do. I looked perfectly normal, I think. And during our meeting, she looked so stiff and concerned all the time. And I got a very bad feeling that the meeting wasn't going very well. And when I came back out and took the elevator down, I saw that I had drawn with my pencil a blue line all over my nose that she had been looking at for 25 minutes. And I'm sure she couldn't focus on anything what I said except this blue line.
That's funny. Your biggest surprise?
My biggest surprise was that I would meet the fantastic woman I'm together with 5 years ago. I felt lonely, and there she was. That was a great, great change for me.
Your most outstanding idea, which could be like the best, the same answer maybe?
My problem is I have too many ideas, but I can share my last one. It's to have a music festival in Stockholm to support old growth forests that are disappearing in Sweden and all around the world. I think musicians, they can connect to that. And I think we could, if we just find the right concept, we could bring in great musicians and an audience who can connect to old growth forests and just come back and do something about it.
I didn't know that. Always something you, your craziest journey could be figuratively or personal or whatever you want to share.
My craziest journey must have been that I started a German travel magazine without any money and don't speak any German. It was a wild ride.
Wonderful. Your best deal?
My best deal was to take that fantastic German magazine and show it to the retailer chain Natur Company in Sweden and say, look, don't you want something like this in Swedish for your customers? That saved the company at the time. But they said yes.
Your contribution to making the world a little better?
My stubbornness.
Your most inspiring business moment. Who inspired you or what inspired you in the most special or sustainable way?
I actually get inspired by, as many others, also by Yvonne Chouinard and Patagonia. Also their long-term commitment and the stubbornness in one way to go one direction before everyone else and just stick to it. That inspires me.
Your most reliable source?
I think it's my best source is speaking to other people, interviewing people, because you hear so many interesting, good things when you interview people. And they're right about it.
Do you like to recommend a book or a podcast or a film or anything you recently discovered, which all of us might not know?
I don't know. I think I would say literature, novels. I think we who work a lot with our brains, we need to read literature, good literature, as a balance. I'm personally not sort of so much lacking information, rather than lack creativity and inspiration.
How can people get in touch with you?
Easiest is if they go to our website, noragency.com, or if they go to sustonmagazine.com, and on noragency, they find me and my colleagues with our email addresses. And of course, LinkedIn.
And before we thank all our listeners and before I thank you, I just want to give you the chance for some last words or sentences as for our listeners to make sure that everybody got your message. And also for, this is really important for you to send, which you did not send the last 45 minutes.
Well, the final message would be to keep on reading important things, keep on talking to people, keep on thinking, and evaluate what can you do and how could you do it, and just do it together with others.
Yeah. Same, and I can fully underline. Thank you so much, Gabriel, and I'm looking very, very forward for the next weeks where we have lots of opportunities to meet with all the shows. For every listener of Spisnis by Outra, I would love to send a personal message right now. And this is not only please share the wonderful and inspiring people I love to interview, and of course share any kind of feedback, share inspirational notes, but also I would love to use this as a political channel, because it's really not I'm missing words on the right movement or right in at the moment in Europe. And I really want to underline that everybody of us has not only the chance and the moments to make sure that we stay wide away from that, and that we influence everybody we can to make sure that this is the wrong way. And we did not speak about it, Gabriel. And I think it's fine for you if I use that moment, because we should use every channel. And we need to. And after having last week's elections in Germany, seeing everything else in the European countries, and of course in the rest of the world, we need to take every chance. So whatever we can do, please, let's do it for sustainability and for the right movements to get away from that one. And thanks for listening. And hope to have lots of chances to share thoughts again.
Thank you. Thank you, Kim. Always nice to meet
you. Same to you. Take care.
Hey, the jump off with a personal message. Do you like my podcast or not? Then help me get better or stay good, preferably via LinkedIn. And please spread the word, share it, and make our content even more relevant. Thank you very much, and see you next time.